Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings of the council, I always ask the question, how are the children? And the reason that we ask that question is that we know that when our children are well and taken care of, our community is well. And each week, we have folks come in and talk to us about issues that are important to them. Today, we have a young woman named Julia Ariel Gavriluk. She's age 9, and she goes to Forest Park Elementary School. Julia recently had been crowned National American Miss of Portland. She was chosen to represent her state because of her outstanding accomplishments and community service. The National American Miss pageants are dedicated to celebrating America's greatness and encouraging its future leaders. Each year, the pageant awards $1 million in cash, scholarships, and prizes to recognize and assist the development of young women nationwide. Julia, could you come forward, please? Those are awfully big chairs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here, Julia. What would you like us to know?
Well, there at some schools, they do not have after-school activities, and I think that should be changed to be like having kids' space, sports, homework club, drama club, drawing club, and kids' safety club. Well, as you know, Kids Space is like a place where kids get to go after school and play games, watch videos, do drawings, reading, writing, and overall just having fun. And they get to make new friends, and so do the parents. And sports, you know, instead of laying around watching TV and eating junk food, you get to do running, playing, basketball, softball, soccer, etc. And that would help kids, you know, not stay around and do nothing, but also just get active. And the drama club will help kids act, have a personality, just be their self and be a shining star. And it would help the kids to not be shy, to always help them in the future, and have social skills. And the drawing class will help them have a creative and imagination to expand it. And for the kids' safety, which is the most important one, we should have classes for that after school so the kids can learn about the safety that they have throughout their life, like meeting strangers on the street, you should not talk to them, and to the untalked things that, like how to get out of certain situations that could make them feel uncomfortable. So I think that some schools should have after-school activities as any of these, so they can, you know, like the schools should filter the internet so there's not all that junk in the internet anymore, so the kids can be safe. And even I had experiences with that. So some schools do have that, but I think all the schools should learn about the safety of the whole time. And this is the most important one, so each school should have that. And also, if, like, the kids should be at the sports and the drama club and the drawing classes, like, all in one together to get active. And, you know, if you can make a fun to any of these activities, it would be very good so that they could always be active and, you know, it could help them in the future by any goals they have, like the drama class. If they want to become actors, then that could help them. And if they want to become artists, the drawing classes could help them with what they want to be when they grow up. All of this could help the kids at their school throughout life. Whatever they want to do, it will help them. So each and every school should probably have any of these activities. And if each school does, and it probably will if you would please make a fund to it, then everybody will be safe and, you know, have fun and be healthy. And these activities will inspire the schools, the kids, even the grown-ups, if they don't have jobs and they just like to stay at home. That would also inspire them, because the kids are trying hard to succeed on what they want. And so the parents do want them to be good at it and stuff. So if they do try to get to their goal that they're trying to do, then they will probably succeed because of all these classes that they have taken, all the experience that they have. So if you could put any fund to it and put these into the schools, it'd be very, very nice to all the families, kids, and parents if you could start any of these programs. And remember, kids are the future. And if you help the kids, you help the future. Thank you.
Julie, I just want to make sure it says you're 9 years old.
Yeah.
You're a very articulate young lady for 9 years old. So thank you for coming in and sharing your views with us. And a number of those programs the city does help sponsor through our CHIF program, which provides after-school programs for young people in our schools. But thank you very much for sharing that. Let's give her another hand. Thank you. City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. Please read. Before I begin, I want to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 321, request of Kim Southworth to address Council regarding proclamation of March 10th to the 15th, 2008, as Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Week in Portland.
Good morning. Thanks for being here, folks. You have a total of 3 minutes. And please state your name for the record.
Well, my name is Kim Southworth, and I'm the Program and Service Coordinator at the Oregon Chapter of the National MS Society.
Pardon me. My name is Ann Belzel, and I'm the Program Director at the National MS Society Oregon Chapter. We represent and create services for more than 7,000 individuals in Oregon with MS, and are very happy that you have agreed to recognize that in the proclamation. We don't need our 3 minutes. We just wanted to acknowledge that. And we have a few people with us here today that we'd also like to acknowledge.
Could you raise your hands, folks, with the group? Well, thank you very much. And thank you for the work you do for our community and for the MS community.
This is MS Awareness Week, but we really want people to remember multiple sclerosis and all other hidden disabilities every day and every week of the year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your work.
Please read the next communication.
Item 322, request of Pete Colt to address council to thank parking patrol, police, and graffiti abatement.
Hi there, guys. Good
thank
morning.
You for being here this morning. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Sir. Pete Colt, and I really do want to thank parking enforcement. Let me lay this out. My front gate, I look at St. Mary's Cathedral and Cathedral School. The back gate, it looks out at Trinity Episcopal. At 11 o'clock is the kinder care. At 9 o'clock is the Children's Cultural Center and the Children's Theater. Behind that, of course, is Temple Beth Israel and Cooch Park. I live in a very child-heavy, child-friendly, child-destination neighborhood. Parking enforcement does a great job keeping it, the intersections clear, keeping them safe for all these kids who have to walk to and from school and their parents who push their strollers, like Catherine and her lovely little daughter, Riley, who's about to say her first word. The police, we have a huge prostitution and crack problem in our neighborhood on Everett. It starts at Northwest 21st. It goes from Burnside to about Hoyt. It encompasses Cooch Park. There's so much crack. Let me tell you what happened last night at 2:39. Two women were arguing over their crack pipe on the front steps, and the guy was standing there, you know, the type with the big park is. At 3:19, a reenactment of almost the same thing with two other people, you know, call them again, get out of there, get out of there. So this morning I wake up, somebody had urinated on the front step and left a daffodil there, you know, like I'll be pushing up daffodils or something. So please, guys, rethink the prostitution-free zones. That's a really serious problem we have. And I mean, if this is going on 24/7. This happens while the kids are crossing the street, the prostitutes and their pimps, the crack dealers are arguing right there on Everett every single day. I had to call 911 Friday. A prostitute's been tracking me. I had to call 911 on Friday, and thank God this cabbie was right there on the corner in between the Children's Theater and Trinity. I got into his cab and escaped because she had sent three guys after me to kill me. Now, with that being said, I'm not here representing anybody but myself, not the Northwest District Neighborhood Association, where I am the pro tem chair of the Public Safety Committee, not anything else. But here's a little article about how parents are leaving the Pearl to move into my neighborhood, to Chapman School and to the Metropolitan Learning Center. And you gentlemen should know that, from what I understand, at the Metropolitan Learning Center in the fifth grade, children are allowed to leave the school on their own and walk through these streets. And I can't begin to stress to you guys how many times I call the police every day, call parking enforcement every day, and they are always there. Signboards is a separate issue, but I want to thank them for cleaning up Northwest 23rd on that with the A boards. So please really consider putting in. I know my time's up. I want to say that real quick, parents who are paying $1,500 a month for $1,800 a month for a one-bedroom apartment of the Pearl are paying two-bedroom, two-bath house with a small yard for $1,500 a month in my neighborhood, which is why I'm so happy to see all these children in my neighborhood and why I'm asking you, please, reinstate the prostitution and drug-free zones and help these kids, okay? Thanks. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
Is that communications? Okay. We'll move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time, sir.
Item 323, recommend criteria for addition of non-contiguous urban renewal areas.
And please read the second item as well.
324, recommend amendment of River District urban renewal area to add area in East Portland.
Commissioner Sten?
Great. Thank you, Mayor Potter, and thanks to my colleagues for co-sponsoring these resolutions that I'm very excited to present today. Thought, Mayor, I might check in with you and the council. There's a logic to either way. We may want to vote on the first one separately and then do the hearing on the second one, or we could do them together. The first resolution proposes criteria for PDC to, and the city council to have in place whenever we implement what is a new concept I'm about to describe called satellite districts. The second one instructs PDC to make the first satellite district in David Douglas to help the David Douglas School District with a community facility. And what I'm wondering is, I know there are some people who support the concept, but not necessarily putting it into David Douglas. And so if it would make sense to not present the case for David Douglas until we presented the case for the satellite districts, I don't know.
Is that your preference?
Well, I'm thinking that way, because I think it would allow people, if they want to, I don't see an enormous number of people here, if they wanted to testify on both, they could. We could, and I think once we vote to have satellite districts, assuming that passes, it makes sense, I think, to talk about the next step. So
okay.
If that's the case,
we will have a hearing on the first one and vote on it and then go to the second.
Great. Well, I'll just briefly, Mayor, introduce item 323 and would take everyone back to about a year ago. Commissioner Saltzman and I joined Chair Rosenbaum and Charles Wilhoit and from the PDC and Don Hansen from the Planning Commission, and Commissioner Jeff Kogan from the county, as well as Citizen John Cruz, to take a look at the future of urban renewal, particularly the downtown urban renewal districts. And a year ago during the budget process, this council concurred with a budget recommendation to essentially take the three downtown urban renewal districts, which most of which have been there for a very long time, particularly South Park Blocks and downtown Waterfront, and essentially begin the process of getting rid of those two districts and closing them down. That's takes a little while, and there's some debate as to how fast to do it, but that's essentially the recommendation that's back before you in this year's budget. We were also asked to take a look at, I think, a really good strategy that's been taking a long time to implement, and that was expanding the River District by 20%, and 20% is the absolute amount that an urban renewal district can geographically be expanded by, into Old Town. And the idea was, and I think it doesn't need a lot of explanation to anybody who cares enough to have listened this far, Old Town has not prospered during a time where the River District has been booming. And so the thought has been, and I think this was originally proposed, although in a somewhat different fashion, I'd say, by the League of Women Voters, this idea of going into Old Town. And so our committee's job was to look at that question. And I would be the first to tell anyone that I think the question of whether or not to expand the River District, and both geographically and financially, and there's a proposal PDC will be bringing to the council before too long to expand economically the district, and that's what this has to do with, by over $300 million. And I don't believe that's an obvious call. And the reason I don't think it's an obvious call is that the River District really is not done by any stretch of the imagination. There's enormous opportunities with the post office and other things that could probably create more taxes than it will cost to redevelop them. There's more affordable housing to be built for sure, and the parks aren't done. At the same time, if you look at the River District compared to just about anywhere else in the city, it's pretty hard to argue that it's the top problem that the city's facing, like maybe it was 15 years ago when the vision of an old industrial district came around. And so I think the county, who is supporting this recommendation, and the city could have come to a very rational conclusion not to extend the River District at all. There would, however, have been a lost opportunity in the sense that this may be a once-in-a-lifetime chance to really hit some of the things that I think people really aspire to in Old Town and other places. And at that first meeting, I actually was giving kind of a warm-up talk as the co-chair and said, you know, this is going to be an exciting process. It's going to take about a year. And remember, when we expand these boundaries, they have to be contiguous. And all of a sudden, I heard coughing in the back from some of the lawyers, and this was Harvey Rogers and Matt Baines and a couple other folks, and they continued to cough, and I finally said, you must have something on your mind. And they said, well, it doesn't really have to be contiguous anymore, which was, by anybody's estimate, a very different interpretation of how things are done. I was on the council, for example, when we ran a little tiny skinny line all the way from the River District to Myron Franks, to put Myron Franks into the River District Urban Renewal. If you look at the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal District, you will find a very skinny line that takes in the median of King Boulevard to get it down to Alberta. But what turns out is that a couple years ago, and I actually was here for this as well, but didn't quite think about the ramifications, PDC really studied the Urban Renewal Code and found that nowhere in there does it say there's a need to be contiguous. And so our Willamette Industrial Urban Renewal District, which has been on the books for quite a few years and is universally considered okay, is actually a split district where it doesn't include the river and it doesn't include big, big chunks of industrial area. And so we've already done non-contiguous districts. And so I started thinking to myself, well, and admittedly this is taking it a little bit too extreme, but what could you really do? And so the idea came about of what if we did a satellite district, took in 5, 6, 7 acres of somewhere in the city that really needed services, really needed community facilities that for one reason or another, we've absolutely been unable to get done as a community for one reason or another. And so I started thinking about that, talking to people. As the council will recall, we've started the School Family Housing Initiative to try and look at how the city policy link up with schools. So I immediately looked at what are the school district's needs. And came to a conclusion, and I admit it's one that I think I came to rationally, but it's one I picked because I didn't feel that you could explain this concept and get it all the way through to fruition by just saying you might be able to do this. I thought the way you get people to understand something new is to put something real, tangible, and something I would say even the opponents of this agree needs to be done. I'm yet to talk to anybody who doesn't believe we need a new community facility that includes a school in David Douglas. I sat, and you'll hear from some of the superintendents who are not from David Douglas, and it's my estimation that this satellite district with this use in David Douglas is the largest physical educational need that's unmet in this community. And so I basically said, well, what if we added that to the River District? That would actually do a lot of things. It would allow us to tap the River District in order to do something that needs to be done. And I think even maybe more importantly, I hope, and this is a very optimistic hope, is that it will begin to build some unity and some strength between parts of the city that are frankly usually fighting with each other. I mean, I think the five of us have all run for office. I can tell anybody who wants to run for office, if you find yourself in trouble in a meeting on the east side of Portland, anywhere east of the river, but particularly east of 82nd, and you're trying to dig yourself out of it, say downtown gets too much money. Whether that's right or not, the crowd will be back with you immediately, and there's not a politician up here who doesn't know that truism. And do I say, by God, I'm going to do something about it? Now, in my fourth term, I finally have. First three, I just promised it. At the same time, if you were to go to a meeting at any other place and say to yourself, you know, and this I think we all five agree to be true as well. Look, you know, if downtown does not prosper, we all get hurt. And so, you know, I think many times I've also been in those same meetings and they've said, well, you're putting all this money into North McAdam, for example. And I say, well, you know, North McAdam is an industrial brownfield. It's not paying any taxes. This money we're investing will generate more taxes, we believe, than it will cost in the long run. And if you want to protect Portland's neighborhoods and you believe people are going to move here, you've got to put the density into the central city, and that takes investment. We need streetcars and other things. And I think at the end of the day, people believe both those propositions because there's a lot of truth in both of them, and neither is completely true. You have to invest in the downtown. You have to invest in the central city if you're going to be a prosperous city. Everybody knows that. It's a constant battle to keep the central city strong, and downtown gets too much of the money. I think that's both true. And so what I'm envisioning this as a start of, I don't think it's a magic moment where something happens, is a different kind of coalition where perhaps people can look at each other and say, you know what? If the downtown prospers, maybe we'll have the money we need to put a school community facility into the places that frankly can't afford them. And people will say, and I want to address it head on, and we'll talk a little bit more about this on the next resolution, well, the David Douglas voters should do that. Well, you know, they haven't been able to. And who's suffering for that is the kids who need this facility. I also would point out that even though, I mean, my great friends at Portland Public School District, when they pass a bond measure, they get all of downtown. If Portland Public School District passes a bond measure, every single office building downtown pays on it. David Douglas doesn't have that. Park Rose doesn't have that. Centennial doesn't have that, nor does Reynolds. And so it isn't an even playing field even going into the bond measure discussions. And so this is something we've really tried to think through. And so that led to what you usually get when you do a little bit of innovative thinking. Well, that's terrific, but you're gonna, you know, isn't this just gonna let the genie out of the bottle? If you start giving these guys a community facility, everybody's going to want a community facility. I have a flip response to that, which is everybody does want a community facility. I also believe that this decision, if we make it, is no different than any budget decision we make any year. We made a decision to put a community center into Southwest Portland using levy funds. Every time we make a decision to do anything major anywhere, as does the PDC, you could have done that somewhere else. And there's absolutely no evidence that when you do something innovative and important that it's a bad idea. It's a bad thing if you can't do it everywhere that wants one, you know. And so I have no doubt that we can't do this everywhere that wants one, but I don't think that's an argument not to do it. I do, however, think, and I'm going to end here, Mayor, that it's important that we understand when and why this would make sense. And the argument that's been out there that I do feel is very important to address, and I think could be a very serious one if it was not addressed, is the purpose of urban renewal at the end of the day is to renew blighted areas. And part of how you do that is you create new tax value. Urban renewal cannot become a social service type of funding because then it won't pay for itself. For those of you who don't watch this closely, which are probably the people at home, the way we do urban renewal is we essentially borrow money, say $100 million, invest it back into a neighborhood, and then take the taxes that investment created to pay back the loan. It's much like, you know, adding three apartments to an apartment building and then paying back the money with the rent. And it's much more like that. And so you have to create the rent to have it make sense. And so this first resolution that's before us is entitled Recommend Criteria for Addition of Non-Contiguous Urban Renewal Areas. And the idea behind it is simply to say, we should only consider doing this type of investment when we meet the following criteria. And I thought that I might just very briefly walk through. There's four simple criteria. And I think if people think about this and say a satellite district whatever its use might be for whatever worthy purpose, will only be on the table when these criteria are met. I think it should take away any fear that this is going to usurp the basic function of urban renewal. And in fact, I think it comes about only at those moments, if you think about these criteria, when you've got a very successful urban renewal district and you're struggling with a very difficult question of, should we continue it longer for good reasons, or should we shut it down and put it back on the tax rolls? And in some circumstances, as is the case in this one with the River District, I believe that doing a satellite district and taking on one of those huge problems that is vexing our community, like the overcrowding of schools and elementary children in David Douglas, may help justify why one would move forward and do something like a River District. So the criteria are really pretty simple. I've said that it should not, the non-contiguous area or satellite should occur only during a geographic expansion of an existing urban renewal district and should be limited to 15% of the expansion. So the expansion can only be 20%, and this can only be 15% of it. And by definition, you only expand when the district has been around for a while and is successful. So that would be the first criteria. The second, it should only be done when the assessed growth, i.e. the money coming in to the urban renewal, exceeds our projections by 10%. So by definition, you're expanding the urban renewal district, and it has substantially more money than your projection thought it would have in the first place, i.e. it's doing very, very well. I've added a third, that it can only be added after the urban renewal district has been there 10 years. So again, this is a mature district where you really know what's happening. And the final one was that it must include an increase in the maximum indebtedness that is no more than 15% of the difference between the original amount and the amended maximum amount. So that's a little bit city speak, but the idea is to basically limit the amount of money that can go to this to a reasonable amount. And so the idea is very simply that if this resolution passes, the gates are not wide open on urban rural districts. In fact, unfortunately, because these are very conservative, there is no other urban renewal district in the city of Portland that at this point in time would be well positioned to do a satellite district. I hope very much that North McAdam will reach that level of success. I certainly hope that when we build the next district, the third one, a second one, I guess, to replace downtown waterfront and South Park blocks, that we might even do this with in mind, and we might even have some of the East Portland advocates, low-income advocates, which I generally am, say, you know, maybe we'll support a little more aggressive play in the downtown if we think 10 years from now that might lead to this kind of work. So, but it's a pretty strict criteria. I think there's probably more argument to loosen this criteria than to make it strict, but I wanted to be very responsive to the argument that in a district with, I think it's going to end up being $586 million in spending $19 million in David Douglas ultimately usurps the purpose of the district. I just think that can't be, that argument doesn't hold up. And I think this criteria will make sure that, although it doesn't hold up in this time, it won't be abused in the future. So that's the purpose of this resolution there.
Did you have any?
I did not. I have signed up for the second one, so I would probably just open it up to council comments or if anybody would like to testify on the criteria. If you want to testify on the David Douglas proposal, that'll be the next resolution. This one is just a resolution on the criteria I just mentioned.
We do have a sign-up sheet. How many people are signed up?
One person, Shelley Lorenzen, signed up for this one.
Please come forward. Thank you for being here. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Shelley Lorenzen. I'm with the League of Women Voters of Portland. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. The satellite proposal is merely the tail wagging a very big dog. While the League does not think the state statute intended urban renewal areas to have satellites, there is a much bigger issue at stake in this proposal. The satellite proposal is not about taking money from the rich River District and spending it on its less fortunate cousins in other parts of town. This proposal is about the city and PDC continuing to take money from public schools, police, fire, county services, and the city's general fund for projects in the River District, instead of allowing these entities to realize the return on the urban renewal district as it should once the River District has met its goals, which it is very close to doing. The way the proposal would work is that the River District would borrow an additional $311 million on top of the already $225 million that has borrowed for projects in the River District. Almost all these monies would be spent in the downtown area. Practically all the property taxes generated in the River District would be used to pay back this debt instead of going, as it otherwise would, to schools, county, general fund, and other services. The City Finance Office has run calculations as to what the $532 million in River District debt would mean in lost revenues to those taxing jurisdictions, and you've been handed a copy of those. The numbers are absolutely staggering. All taxing jurisdictions would lose $807 million, and it will take $2.8 billion to make those taxing jurisdictions whole by 2051. These figures also do not include what we're told is a very significant amount of money lost for fire and police, disability and retirement fund, bond coverages, and special levies, which we are advised will be recovered by increasing property taxes on the citizens of Portland at large. David Douglas is a very worthwhile project. We just don't think it should be done with urban renewal funds from an area that is no longer a candidate for urban renewal, and when it comes at the expense of the other taxing jurisdictions. If City Council wants to budget monies from the general fund for this purpose, more power to them. This is a fabulous idea, a fabulous project. If the law allows it, use your general fund monies to do so. If the city would let urban renewal districts expire, as they are supposed to do when they are successful, the city would have more general funds for these projects. To continue to take money from other taxing jurisdictions, however, is not acceptable under urban renewal law or otherwise. With all due respect, gentlemen, the end does not justify the means. Thank you very much.
I had a question for you. When you talk about property taxes needed to be made whole, what does that mean?
Well, the taxing jurisdictions have forego revenues during the life of an urban renewal district. So, for instance, an urban renewal district typically has a life of about 20 years. During that time, all the property taxes that are generated in that district go to repay the debt, the borrowings plus the finance charges. That typically takes, to pay that debt off, takes another 10 years after the district ends. So at 30 years out, finally the money starts flowing back to the taxing jurisdictions that did not receive any revenues during that 30-year period. So to make up the lost revenues, plus just get their ongoing piece of the tax revenues at that point, the city finance department is predicting that it will take approximately another 20 years to make that happen. So does that make sense? That you have to collect $2.8 billion to repay the $807 million that they did not get during the life of the urban renewal area, plus the repayment period, and the monies that that they will be collecting when they start collecting again.
Tax increment financing only takes those taxes that are generated after the URA is created, not all of the property taxes, as you suggested.
Well, I'm saying that it's all the taxes above the frozen base, but these are all the taxes above the frozen base.
Earlier you had said all property taxes.
I said almost all property taxes, because the frozen base in the River District is very low. And now, and the assessed value has increased enormously over the last almost 10 years. So practically all of the property taxes are being used to refund the debt, to repay the debt, and are not going to the taxing jurisdictions. And I think what's important to realize, too, is that we had an initial $225 million in debt on this district. And if we just stop the River District at that point in time.
I think you're expanding the answer to my question. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Was that the...
That's all who signed up for that item.
Okay. Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
I have enormous respect for the League of Women Voters and their recommendations. In fact, I think, and my council colleagues will correct me if I've got this wrong, I believe I'm the only member of this council to have ever voted against extending an urban renewal district. So I would hope that my remarks have some credibility with the opponents of this proposal that Commissioner Sten has brought forward. I would first point out that in the exchange that just occurred, that the reason the River District's tax base is so low is because it was an area that by all accounts was a no man's land before the urban renewal area was created down there. Having been born and raised in Portland and actually worked at Blitz Weinhard when I went to Portland State, I can tell you from personal experience it was not a very hospitable area, to be polite. So the only reason the increment exists, the taxes exist, is because, in my view, the investments due to the urban renewal area happened to create a place where people in the private sector then felt comfortable investing in. So notwithstanding my earlier opposition to extending urban renewal area, not only do I understand the reason behind urban renewal areas, I support them as long as the League points out, we're not creating investments with public dollars that would have otherwise happened in the private sector. And I think that's the key to successful urban renewal projects, is that at the point in time we have done enough investment that the private sector on their own sees the value of coming into an area and doing work, we should not be investing public dollars. And I agree with that. So having said that, this is really in many ways a remarkable proposal. And as I've told Commissioner Sten, my deepest regret and reservation about it is I did not think of it first. I think in many ways it sets the stage for I think even Commissioner Sten in his remarks understated the future impact of what this will help the city do in many ways. It sets the stage for allowing all parts of Portland, all residents of Portland, notwithstanding their economic status, to be able to benefit from the most successful parts of Portland. And I've been interested in kind of observing the debate about whether or not this meets the criteria of investing dollars in an urban renewal area, because it goes for a school. Well, if words that people use, you invest in children in the future, for the future, if you invest in schools to create opportunities for kids rather than otherwise have opportunities, if those actually mean something, then this is the proposal that allows that to happen. This is putting our money where our mouth is. This is actually saying, we actually believe the words that if you invest in children, if you give children who don't have any economic opportunity a chance to succeed, they will be our future, not just socially, but economically. And I believe more than anything else, that's what this proposal helps create the format for, not to speak to the specific issue of David Douglas, but it allows us to do things now in Coley that otherwise we couldn't have done. There have been discussions about projects in Lentz that we cannot do, that this gives us now another tool to think about doing, which creates economic opportunity for everybody, no matter the color of their skin, their religion, their economic status, where they live, where they can afford to live, or where they can't live. This creates an opportunity for everybody. Commissioner Sten and I don't always agree on every issue. We agree quite a bit. And unfortunately, later in the agenda, there will probably be an example of a disagreement between Commissioner Sten and I. But on this issue, I will say this. There, and I've only been on the council a little over 5 years, I've observed Commissioner Sten and his role here since he's been on the council, knew him before he got on the council. This is your best work. This, of everything that you've done, and I've admired a lot of it, and I've participated in a lot of it, and I've joined and partnered with you a lot of it, this is not even a close call in my view. This is your best work. This creates an opportunity for people to have some success in their life that otherwise were stuck in parts of Portland. And for those of you who haven't been out east to look at some of the neighborhoods in David Douglas or Lentz or Brentwood Darlington or Coley, I invite you to please go out if you're interested. I will even give you a tour. These are neighborhoods that are struggling. These are families that are struggling, many single parent families, many unemployed families, but generally with no streets, no sidewalks. You think you're in another world when you go through some of these neighborhoods. This makes the difference between night and day for people in those neighborhoods. So I'm really honored to be in a position to be able to support Commissioner Sten on this. I'm really honored to be able to be here and cast a vote in favor of it. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm trying to think of a good lawyer joke referencing Commissioner Sten's remarks about coughing in the room leading to this whole idea of a non-contiguous urban renewal area. But maybe there'll be opportunity down the road for some more lawyer jokes. So I'll save it for now, but just to say, I do agree that this was an opportunity Commissioner Sten seized upon, and really I think the parameters and the criteria that we're adopting at this point really give flesh to that idea that successful urban renewal areas, we ought to have the opportunity to share those investments with other areas that have not prospered as much in the city. And this gives... this gives life to that idea, and I'm pleased to support that idea. I think we'll talk in the next resolution about the particular application of the first satellite urban renewal, but I think the concept and the parameters that are laid forth here are sound ones and will serve us well, and will also, I think, maintain the integrity of the purposes of our urban renewal districts throughout the city. So pleased to vote aye.
Sten.
You've heard from me. Aye.
Potter.
Well, I join my other city council members to vote on this in the affirmative because, you know, as you heard from the young girl who testified earlier, that this was that our responsibility is to our children to ensure that their educations are successful and complete. And there's also another principle for me, and that is sharing the wealth so that more people are affected by that. And this is a particular case, and I want to thank Commissioner Sten for doing this, where we're taking from an area that has done very well and given to an area of Portland, we're still talking Portland, that is in dire straits. And you look back to how Portland the development commissions are created in Oregon, they were originally designed to reduce urban blight. In this particular case, we're not talking urban blight, we're talking about urban education, which if not guaranteed leads to urban blight. So I think this is one of those preventative things that will help us help the school district begin to achieve a better means by which to provide education and opportunities to our young people. I vote aye. Please read item 324.
Recommend amendment of River District Urban Renewal Area to add area in East Portland.
Great. Well, thanks, Mayor Potter. I did have some invited speakers for this, and I think the introduction really follows the last one. I would say there is still working with the attorney on some of the legal issues, but approximately a 5 to 7 acre site that is owned by the David Douglas School District that will be in the proposal that comes forward from the work group to be included in the River District expansion. And the proposal is to build a community facility that includes a school and still some work to be done, but I think some other community amenities as well, perhaps a Head Start, perhaps a senior center, perhaps we want to do some work with the community on what exactly are the right things to team up with this school, but that's the idea. So with that in mind, I'd like to introduce our first panel is Senator Rod Monroe, who I think needs no introduction in this room, Annette Mattson, who is the board chair of the David Douglas School District, and Barbara Rommel, who is the superintendent of the David Douglas School District.
Thanks for being here today, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'm Rod Monroe, State Senator, District 24, and it's a pleasure to be here today to talk to you a little bit about the David Douglas School District and school finance in general, which is something that I've been working on for about the last 30 years of my life. When Measure 5 passed and Measure 50 and Measure 47 after, by the way, I didn't vote for any of those, but they did bring about an equalization, a fairly good equalization of operating money to schools, because now the state essentially funds the operation of our public schools, and it's done on a fairly equal basis, although David Douglas does get less per pupil than Portland District Number 1, for example, but it's not a whole lot less. But nothing has been done to deal with the problems of capital and capital needs. And there's a great disparity across this state in the ability of communities to provide the capital necessary for schools, especially those high-growth districts like David Douglas, growing at 3% a year. David Douglas is the second poorest district in the state in assessed value per pupil. There's a reason for that. Not only is it a fairly low-income, middle-income, working-class area, but it has no industry, no industry at all, and very little commercial properties. And so you're tapping purely residential apartments and single-family homes, mostly very modest homes. And to ask the residents, who, by the way, strongly support their schools, people out in Mid-County love the David Douglas School District, but to ask them to pay for the whole cost of building new schools means that each individual homeowner will pay 4 or 5 or 10 times as much for that one new school that would be the case in a wealthy district where there is industry and where there are other property values. So, you know, David Douglas, with 70% of its students eligible for free and reduced lunch, is a poor residential area. But you have to remember, it's also entirely within the city of Portland. You know, we live in one city. We're one city. I care about what happens in the downtown area, but I also care about all parts of our city, including the David Douglas District, which is entirely within my Senate district. Using urban renewal creatively to provide a bit of money so that David Douglas can build a badly needed elementary school with a community center and as a part of it, I think is an appropriate thing to do. Now, I'm also working at the state level to try and solve the overall state problem of how do we provide the capital needs of not only our K-12 school districts, but also our community colleges. I happen to be vice chair of the board of Mount Hood Community College as well. David Douglas, by the way, is one of the most frugal districts you'll ever find. I served 10 years on the David Douglas School Board. They are really careful with their money, and because of that, even with less dollars, they still provide elementary music, both vocal and instrumental, counselors, PE in every elementary school, and they provide full-day kindergarten without charging any tuition, something I'm a little passionate about. And so I applaud the David Douglas School District Superintendent Rommel, who I helped hire when I was on the board, is doing an outstanding job, and the school board is doing an outstanding job, and a little bit of help so that they can build this badly needed elementary school when they're growing so fast. They really need to add an elementary school about every 3 or 4 years at that growth rate. And so I applaud Commissioner Stinn in particular and the rest of you for supporting this proposal, and I'd be happy to respond to questions.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Well, I hope not all remarks have been stated by the good senator. My name is Annette Mattson. I'm chair of the David Douglas Board. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this issue of fairness and equity. The concept of urban renewal is to address areas of blight in our city. Blight, according to Webster's Dictionary, is something that frustrates plans or hopes, something that impairs or destroys. I ask you to walk through the halls of any David Douglas school, look in on our classes of more than 30 students, and dare tell yourself that the plans and hopes of these children are not being frustrated, that our ability to deliver effective instruction is not being impaired. David Douglas schools are well over capacity, yet we remain the fastest growing school district in the metro area, and the families streaming in are among the least affluent. In 2000, 40% of our students qualified for free or reduced lunch. Today, it's over 70%. These students have the highest needs, the lowest means, and we can't offer them the room they need to grow. So how do we explain this growing blight? One reason is that despite our capacity issue, David Douglas schools are excellent. We do provide tuition-free all-day kindergarten for every family, and we are one of the few districts in the state that still has counselors and PE teachers and music teachers in every school. What we don't have is industry to give us a solid tax base. 28% of our property is exempt from property taxes. We have had more than our fair share of subsidized Section 8 and multifamily housing constructed in recent years. We have almost the lowest assessed value per student of any school district in the state of Oregon, and that means our homeowners bear almost the entire brunt of our tax base. Our taxpayers would pay a much higher rate to get a much lower bond measure, and our citizens simply cannot afford it. Struggling families are coming to David Douglas. Where are they coming from? Well, last fall, we had 384 new students that attended a Portland public school the previous year. That figure just about matches our total enrollment growth. This indicates that families are fleeing housing costs in Inner Portland for more affordable housing in David Douglas. Of course, many factors contribute to escalating housing costs, but the fact that remains that the success of the Inner Portland urban renewal areas and city zoning policies over the last 20 years have led to the current state, the socioeconomic segregation of Outer East Portland. So we've come full circle. Urban renewal is successfully addressing blight in the inner city, but a direct consequence has been the creation of blight in David Douglas schools. It is only fair and right that a small amount of the wealth being generated by the River District be shared with those parts of the city bearing the negative impacts of that success. David Douglas children are citizens of this city, too. They need room to learn. They need a new school. And it is wholly justified that they get that school and have blight reduced using the very urban renewal funds that sent them to us in the first place. Thank you.
Good morning. Barbara Rommel, Superintendent of David Douglas School District. I want to thank the council for considering this resolution. I've worked for David Douglas for 37 years, and I know that David Douglas School District is a wonderful place for children to learn. This year, we welcomed more new students than any district in Multnomah County, and 10% of the total new students statewide. Of the 15 largest districts in the state, David Douglas has the highest percentage of students in poverty and needing ESL assistance. Thankfully, we have over 1,000 staff members dedicated to doing their part to help our students reach their full potential. What we don't have is classroom space. In all of our elementary schools, classrooms are packed and areas designated as closets are used for small group instruction. The board purchased a land site for constructing a neighborhood school, but voters rejected a bond measure to build it. Their concern is understandable. David Douglas has the highest tax rate in the county and a declining level of household income. Commissioner Sten's idea to utilize resources from the River District to build a facility in David Douglas that would serve both as a school and a community center is an example of how a vibrant, visionary city uses resources to enhance livability for all its residents, especially its youngest ones. Last spring, over 100 first and fifth graders from David Douglas traveled to the River District to a business that needed some help. They painted over a wall of graffiti at that business. Their teachers wanted them to learn that being part of a community means using the resources you have, in this case, enthusiasm and energy, to help others and make your city a better place to live. Your support of efforts to direct resources from an area that has them to an area that needs them demonstrates the best in community building. Portland has already achieved national recognition for the Rosa Parks Project. The project in David Douglas can be a second step in strengthening connections between the city and its schools. I hope you will vote to support the resolution and do all you can to make this facility a reality as soon as possible. I want to thank the David Douglas community and parent leaders who took time to come down here today. And I truly appreciate your leadership and concern. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Thank you, Senator.
We have a second panel, Mayor. I'd ask Karen Gray, who's the superintendent of Park Rose, and Ken Turner from the Portland Chamber of Commerce. I'm not sure if I've seen Ken yet. We'll hold off. And Lee Pochai, who's from the Family Service Manager for ERCO. Is Lee here? Just Karen. Come on up.
It's just
and I'll also go ahead then and call Judy Strand, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Metropolitan Family Services. Hey, Judy. And Bob Burko from Rose Community Development, if Bob is here. Great. Yeah, come on. So we'll have our second and third panel at once. Great. Superintendent, please.
Well, I'm Karen Gray, and I'm the superintendent for Park Rose Schools. And thank you all very much for having me today so that I could give my points of view on this. Mayor Potter, you asked, how are the children? So the children at David Douglas School District are squashed. And that is a very difficult place for children to be when they need proper space to be able to do all the things that we expect them to do in school. Becomes very uncomfortable for everyone. We're fairly comfortable in Park Rose School District, facilities-wise. We're not growing the same way as everyone else is for obvious reasons. And we can't ignore the what I would call suffering of our neighbors to the south. And in fact, earlier in the year I had spoken with Superintendent Rommel and said, if you need space for some of your middle school kids, we have room, and we would work something out together. Because as a superintendent and an educator for almost 30 years, I realize how important facilities are to children. There are facilities issues everywhere. There isn't a single one of us in the city of Portland that are not having facilities issue, mostly with aging of facilities issues, and also deferred maintenance because none of us has enough money to keep up with our own facilities. It's kind of like owning a whole lot of houses, and you're always fixing them up. But if you do kind of an educational facilities triage, I think that out of all of the school districts that are in the city of Portland, you have to admit that David Douglas, with its overburdened schools, is the one that's bleeding the most and needs the most help. There are simply too many kids in too little space, and that is not good for children. These children do come to us with lots of different issues, and I don't think they need one more issue to be that there's too many of them in one classroom. David Douglas and Park Rose School Districts are 100% in the city of Portland. And I think that if you look at all of the needs that are in the city of Portland, I really, really appreciated the way that Commissioner Sten explained this whole process being new to this area. I've never heard this before, but it all makes a tremendous sense to me. David Douglas School District is in the city of Portland. It deserves, in my opinion, to be really looked at carefully, to have a satellite for urban renewal, to end the blight that's there in that area, and the students should have enough room to learn. Please consider building a school there. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Judy Strand from Metropolitan Family Service, and as a representative for Metropolitan Family Service, I'd like to speak in support of this resolution. It would support the growing needs in the area while investing in a strong school district that has the talent and the structure to support those needs if given additional resources. MFS is one of the lead agencies for SUN, Schools Uniting Neighborhoods, and we operate three schools in the David Douglas District in partnership with Human Solutions, Anti-Poverty Providers, and the Early Childhood Services of Mount Hood Community College. And together, we see the needs in David Douglas on a daily basis. We've been working with these challenges of growing poverty, and over the last 5 years, as you've already heard, the children that are eligible for free and reduced lunch has jumped from 40 to 70%, and the overall enrollment has increased by 20%. the number of children in poverty in David Douglas is almost at that point as well, with 18.8% being in poverty in the David Douglas School District. 9 out of the 13 schools in the district are in the top quartile of poverty, and of those 9, only one of those schools has an after-school program. So we have a real serious need for community services to blend with